I'm Craig Kenneth, a relationship coach and a psychotherapist. Every relationship is different and every breakup is different. Work with me and you'll get professional help on your situation. And if you're in no contact, focused on personal growth, my workbook series, The Knowledge, will help you make changes like you've never made before. Available now at AskCraig.net. Hi there, I'm Coach Craig Kenneth.
I'm Coach Margaret.
And today we're going to be talking about finding the silver linings. So Margaret has done some research on positivity recently.
Yes.
And today she's going to get into finding the silver linings.
I'm going to find the silver lining.
Let's see what you got.
What you may or may not remember is that's a very well-known song from the 1930s and 40s. Look for the silver lining. All right. Anyway, I'm also going to start to talk about resilience. And what resilience means is you have an ability to bounce back. The word literally means bounce. Okay? So finding the silver linings. Research on resilience began to be really popular after World War II, when many people in the Western world were injured, traumatized, or displaced. Okay?
Okay.
The question, of course, became, why is it that some people appear to be more resilient than others? We do not yet have exact answers, but we have learned a couple of things.
Okay.
Studies have found that factors such as having a tight-knit community and stable role models can help both children and adults thrive in the aftermath of adversity.
Okay.
All right. After interviewing a large number of Vietnamese prisoners of war, a well-known pair of researchers concluded that anyone could train himself or herself to be more resilient. The former POWs, these researchers concluded, had only two resources.
Okay.
Free time and the use of their minds. I mean, if you're a prisoner of war, they don't keep you entertained.
Yeah.
They were able to do some remarkable things that they couldn't do before. One developed a knack for multiplying huge numbers in his head, while another one built a house in his imagination and then later built it for real on solid ground.
Wow.
Okay?
Very interesting.
I thought so too. It said to us that this is an enormous untapped capacity of the human brain. Also, these two well-respected gentlemen had concluded that mindfulness and meditation is also very helpful for resilience. All right?
Okay.
In 1992, one of the researchers we have been talking about, Dr. Dennis Charney, was his name, wrote a letter to the Dalai Lama asking if he could study Tibetan Buddhist monks to see how meditation changes the structure or function of their brain.
Okay.
Now, they live in monasteries, you know, in various parts of Tibet and other such places, and meditate all day and chant and meditate the rest of the day. So they're always quite lost in their meditations.
Okay.
To the researcher's surprise, the Dalai Lama wrote back with a request that Charney devote as much time to studying the effects of kindness and compassion on the brain as he has on depression, anxiety, and fear. So he was reminding the researcher that he was too interested in looking to see what might be going wrong in the brain and not interested enough about what kindness and compassion can do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Now, these are some of my own reflections. Over the last at least 120 years, America at least, and many other countries, have had to go to great lengths to cheer ourselves up. All right? It felt like the world was ending. Remember, between the Depression, between World War I and World War II, we had this awful thing called the Great Depression. Remember the stock market crashed in 1929, and wealthy people in New York were jumping out of hotel rooms. Now, that is literally no joke.
Yeah.
It was almost a joke that they'd come and they'd rent a hotel room, and the next thing you know, you'd jump out the window.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really common. It was outrageous, as a matter of fact. And then came World War II, which, of course, was one of the most frightening things ever in the world. All right? So we needed to find some ways to cheer ourselves up. And it was very much reflected in American music, that we have tried very hard to learn to cheer ourselves up and to be a little more optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
The song Look for the Silver Lining was written and first sung in the 1920s, right before the stock market crashed and the Depression was upon us.
Wow.
Now, remember about the Depression. I don't know what they tell you in school these days, but the stock market crashed. Nobody had any money. People who had been, you know, executives one day were selling apples under the bridges the next day. All right. And everyone was absolutely dead broke. And at the same time, we had all the dust storms in the Midwest, so it wasn't going well for them either. So the Great Depression was a great disaster. So there are all kinds of songs from the American Depression that are very, very cheerful. One of them is called Look for the Silver Lining. There are many others, one of them being things like, be sure to take your feet to the sunny side of the street. Okay?
Okay.
In this Time publication, we have been studying here. Someone comments that some of the material on trying to be more optimistic sounds Pollyanna-ish. All right, now you may not know who Pollyanna is. You probably don't, but I'm here to help you learn about her. It was a novel written in 1913, and it became very popular and a staple in children's literature. Disney made it into a movie in 1960, starring Haley Mills. Now, I don't know if anyone has heard her name in many, many years. Have you ever heard her name?
No. I don't think so.
She was a prominent child star. Pollyanna is an orphan in the story who was sent to live with her aunt, who appears to know nothing about children and to be one of the most gloomy, grumpy people you've ever heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch 5 minutes of the movie, you're already shuddering that you would have jumped out the window yourself had you been sent to live with her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then one day, Pollyanna gets fed up with Auntie, who tells her she has to stay in on a given night when there's a carnival down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And a little boy in the neighborhood coaxes her into climbing out of her room onto a tree, and the branch breaks.
Uh-oh.
In addition to her other troubles, Pollyanna ends up paralyzed. But never does she complain. Never does she cease to be optimistic. And eventually, and I guess the whole town was in a grumpy mood, finally she managed to cheer up her aunt and the entire unhappy town with her unceasing optimism. Okay? Now, so you can see where you'd get the term Pollyanna-ish. You know, you don't even complain when you should.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then I thought of the opposite of Pollyanna, who would be Debbie Downer from Saturday Night Live. Now, I'm sure some people remember Debbie Downer from Saturday Night Live. She's been around since 2004, I think. And in the Saturday Night skits, she's always at some sort of party or social occasion. And as things are going well at the party or the social occasion, she would somehow say something so outrageously pessimistic it would stop everything.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The woman who plays her, named Rachel Dratch, made the most wonderful faces to match her comments. All right. Now, there was a little song they would sing in her introduction. She wants to tell you about a new disease, a car accident, or killer bees.
Mm.
That's Debbie Downer. And Debbie Dratch would make the wonderful faces.
Mm.
And at one particular social occasion, she's saying, everybody was talking about some wonderful thing that had recently happened that made everyone happy. And Rachel says, I'll tell you, what's not so happy is malignant melanoma. All right. So I'm contrasting here the extreme differences in American characters, but you can see it's a constant struggle to come with this. You know, should we be optimistic? Should we be pessimistic? You know, what's the best way to go? All right? Neither of these. These are the two extremes.
Yeah.
All right? So, you know, you can make your own personal decision. Will it be Pollyanna or Debbie Downer? I think we should find someone in the middle. Mm-hmm. Can you think of anyone in the middle?
Maddie Middle.
I just made that up. Disney hasn't made that movie yet. So anyway, I don't want you to be Debbie Downer. And we could all really skip Pollyanna. So we want somewhere in the middle. Okay?
Yep.
All right.
All right. So hopefully you enjoyed Margaret's research on this. Let us know if you want us to talk about it more in the comments or what you thought of it. And of course, if you want to get our help personally, you can do that on my website, askcraig.net. Sign up for the coaching option that works for you. I do email coaching and I do Skype. And of course, Margaret is available for Skype coaching.
If you think I can be helpful, please sign up.
So that's it for this video. I'm Coach Craig Kenneth.
I'm Coach Margaret.
And we will talk with you soon.
To get my help personally, go to askcraig.net and click on schedule coaching and choose the option that works best for you. I do email coaching or Skype. To schedule a coaching with Margaret, click on Margaret on the top of the page and order a Skype with her. For the Knowledge Creative Healing course, click on the link at the top of the page and click Get Started Now.